Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off the mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hey, hey! King Shaziz the Turbo! All rise for King Shaziz the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table!
Awing my way, awing my way, awing my way, awing my way, awing my way.
If I were the Prince of Darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. Thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
In constant sorrow all through his days, I am a man of constant sorrow. I've seen trouble all my days. I bid farewell to old Kentucky, the place where I was born and raised, the place where he was born and raised. For 6 long years I've been in trouble. No pleasure here on earth I find. For in this world I'm bound to ramble. I have no friends to help me now. He has no friends to help him now. Perhaps I'll die upon this train. Perhaps he'll die upon this train. You can bury me in Sunbeam Valley. For many years where I may lay.
Sleeping in my grave. Well,
face you never will see no.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a
barn. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway night, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Hello everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table on ShazoozRadio.com and the Wake Radio and multiple other networks out there, people to people. I'm not sure right now. Either way, this ought to be an interesting subject. It'll probably go far as getting everybody on the planet all riled up. So, basically, what we got going on here out there in the world is total chaos. That's as far as I'm concerned, and that's my own particular point of view on the thing. I've been sitting around watching and listening and paying attention to what's been going on in this world for God knows how many years. And every year it seems like it's the boiling frog syndrome. It just keeps, somebody keeps increasing the heat day after day. There's always something new, some more drama up in your face, something that gets somebody aggravated, pitting blacks against whites, Republicans against Democrats, and whatever, you know. It just, every single day without fail, it's something new, and it just never ends. It continues to get more insane by the day. And if you look out there into the alternative media, every day is a doomsday, and every single thing out there is a drama. There's all kinds of fighting and fussing going on out there. A lot of craziness. Now, my friend Steve over there at Wake Radio posted a link out there for a article that social credit proposals explained in 10 lessons and the solution, debt-free money issued by society. Now, I haven't even read the article. I just kind of scrolled right down through there. But one of the things that caught my eye right out of the gate was Pope John Paul II, and in his left hand, he's sitting there holding a satanic version of the crucifix on a staff. Now, several years back, I did a whole lot of research into symbology and symbolism and all kinds of stuff like that, because I was digging deep into the Matrix, trying to see what was what, and You know, I've seen the whole Zeitgeist moving. I've seen all these other different deals. I mean, there's like this continuous debate on whether the Bible's real or the Bible's not real or whatever. But what I've contemplated from the whole situation after it was all said and done, that this world that we live in has literally been hijacked in every single direction under the sun. Now, to me, what that man's holding in his hand is flat out a mockery to my version of what I believe God to be. Now, I don't want to sit around and debate my religion all the way back into where it all came from or how it all came to be. What I want to know is what is the source behind all of this mockery, all of this division, all of this this what, you know, some call it the Illuminati, some say the Freemasons are doing it, some are saying the Skull and Bones are doing it. There is some entity behind this entire mess that has hijacked everything that my personal life believes in. You know, I call myself a Christian, and I will call myself a Christian because I believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and I got my views from the book. But then once again, the book could be debated from here till eternity whether or not it was right or whether it was wrong. But those beliefs work for me, and my version of Christianity is this. I feel like whether you believe in Jesus Christ or not, whether you agree with the Bible or not, whether you believe there is a God or not, for me personally, this is my own personal spiritual journey, not to be forced onto anybody else, but for me to lead my life by example. When I read the stories in there of what Jesus talked about loving thy neighbor and so on and so forth, and when I read the Ten Commandments in there, the basic laws of goodness, you know, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt honor thy mother and father, and so on and so forth. I'm sure that most of you out there have heard at least most of the Ten Commandments or even read the Ten Commandments. But as I think about what I was raised to believe in, and I look out into society, and I can see all the mockeries and all the deterioration of what normally would have been the morals of society, such as, you know, people used to open doors for ladies, and now on the radios they call them the B word and so on and so forth. They don't have no respect for the women anymore. The children are being pumped propaganda and teaching, being taught trash in school. They're being taught things about things like homosexuality and other things that a mother or a father wouldn't teach their kids, maybe talk to them about later on when they were older, such as maybe 15 or 16 years old, and talking about the birds and the bees and life in general, but never to a kindergartner, never to a first grader, a second grader, a third grader, a fourth grader, a fifth grader, or even a sixth grader for that matter. Only when they get a smart enough to where that they can actually comprehend what it is that you're saying and then formulate their own views and decisions on and opinions on that particular subject. But we're literally being force-fed by society things that we don't agree with. And it comes down to a point where everyone out there who has their own version of what they want the world to be want you to conform to what they want the world to be. Now, I believe that I'm a Christian. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I do believe in God. So I try to live my life accordingly. And I don't try to go over there and, you know, with my Sharpie and mark a Hitler mustache on Buddha or any of the other religious beliefs entities out there. I don't draw mockery depictions of the Prophet Muhammad. I don't do all that kind of stuff. And when I see things out here, like what when I tell people I'm a Christian, it goes over to the Catholicism Church, the Catholic Church, or the Roman Catholic Church, and that is the version of Christianity that people first. It zooms right there to the Pope. He's supposed to be the leader of the Christian Church. There's no Christian in my mind that could literally stand there and hold a scepter with a depiction of the bent crucifix on it in front of the world and call himself a Christian. No Christian could sit there. Hold on. No Christian could sit there and say that for you to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is dangerous without the church. When I talk about my version of Christianity, I am talking about two totally separate entities from what organized religion would be considered. Now, whether sometime way back in the past the Egyptians did this, or this god did this, or that god did that, that's neither here nor there as far as I'm concerned. From what I've learned from the book that I've read, from what I've been taught throughout my life, those are all my personal views. There are individuals out there that want men to marry men. That's their own personal spiritual journey. There's people out there that want women to marry women. That's their own personal spiritual journey. That is not part of my deal. It's not something I believe in. It's not something I condone. But it's not for me to judge either. And so when I look out here at this world, the way it stands, I see a government that's supposed to be protecting the people. I see a government that's supposed to be uniting the people. But instead, it's dividing the people. It's taking my beliefs out of the system. Everything that would be me, what I would want to be represented as a nation. You know, I see them telling me that I can't have God on my dollar bill anymore. I can't have God in my school anymore. I can't have God on any government building anymore. Continuously practicing what they call separation of church and state, which is not in the United States Constitution, by the way. It was basically twisted around some words in there that said the government shall not form a religion. That's it. It didn't say that you couldn't talk about God or whatever. There were no separation of church and state in there. But that's neither here nor there. All the beliefs out there that everyone else has got out there, their own personal views are being rammed down my throat and everyone else's throat out there. Christianity, all the way through the entire world out there, because people are Christians, they're being murdered, their heads being cut off. And if this isn't really happening out there, then somebody is lying. If people aren't being beheaded because of their Christian beliefs out there, then somebody is lying. They've said it on the mainstream media. They've said it in the alternative media. They're telling me that my people, my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, are being murdered because of what they believe. But then, on the other hand, it's okay that all this other stuff can take place, such as I don't believe a man should marry a man or a woman should marry a woman, because, and as far as I'm concerned, the sanctity of marriage was a divine inspiration from the God that I believe in. Now, you don't have to believe in God, but that doesn't make me a racist. It doesn't make me a homophobe because I don't believe the way that you believe. And so, with that said, I get frustrated because my beliefs are being treaded on. And when I see a man who's supposedly the head of the Christianity out there, the Pope, you know, the high and mighty over there, I have no respect for that man. The Pope, to me, is Antichrist. He is the false prophet of my Bible there, the beliefs that I have in the Bible. I literally believe that the biblical Antichrist is literally standing in the White House today. Now, we can debate that. know, we can debate it all we want.
I have to correct you there. Barack Obama is not the Antichrist, it's Prince George, the latest royal birth.
Well, that's what I... Look. Your belief and my belief is two separate things, all right? Well, I'm not going to discredit your belief, but me personally, all right, from my own study of what I've seen out there, from what the Bible told me personally, just me, nobody else. And I'm not saying that you got to believe. I don't want you to believe nothing that I say. I want you to go out and do your own research, formulate your own opinion. But in my own personal spiritual journey, I believe that the Pope is the false prophet of the Bible. I believe that the president that is standing there in the White House today is the biblical Antichrist from everything that I've read from this entire deal. I literally believe that we are living in the last days according to that book. Now, I don't care whether you believe it or not. I don't care whether you're an agnostic or atheist or any of the other terminologies or labels put on people throughout the entire time. I'm just telling you, from my own personal mind, heart, and soul, and my belief, what I see out there and what I believe out there is my own personal spiritual journey. I feel like we are literally living in the last days. What is spoken about in Revelations, it says in Revelations 13:18, let he who hath knowledge count the number of the beast, for it is 666. And I believe that every man, woman, and child out here one day will be forced to have that mark. That's my belief. All right? I'm not asking anyone out there, nobody else on this planet, to believe as I believe. What I'm saying is that when I look out here and I see the divide and conquer going on right now, when I see children starving in this world, when I see the death and the destruction and the sickness and the lack of morality, and I can see that they got a multicolor rainbow up there, which is a mockery to the promise that was made by God, according to my book, that said that I promise never to flood this earth again, and that's what the symbol of the rainbow was supposed to be, but it was hijacked by the gay movement out there in this world. Now, that's my own personal belief. Hold on. That's my own personal belief.
This is quite relevant to what you were saying about the Pope. Now, the Pope calls himself the Vicar of Christ. Now, the Vicar of Christ in Latin is Vicarius Christi. It's probably not very well pronounced, but I didn't go to a public school. The Bishop of Rome is otherwise known as the Pope. Vicarius Christi literally means Antichrist, or in the place of Christ.
See? Now,
logically, if Jesus is the Son of God, why does he need somebody to represent him and tell him how to talk to him?
He don't.
In my point exactly. There's a rule. I mean, I know a lot of religion is based on faith and because we say so.
Yep.
But that's just too much of a logical jump for me, that Christ needs somebody to tell him how to talk to God when God is his dad.
My Jesus is God in the flesh. My Jesus said that no man comes into the Father except through me. My Jesus was the bridge back to God because of the initial sins of man. We had to have a way back to God. All right?
Men didn't sin, women did. Don't forget that.
Well, all of the stories in the book can be debated. All right? All of it. The whole thing. Who wrote the Bible? Who didn't write the Bible? I don't even care. All I'm saying, for me, in the shoes that I walk in, the spiritual journey that I walk in, my version of Christianity has nothing to do with the Pope. The Pope's standing there with a satanic crucifix in front of the world and people going to the church as if he's the authority over my God is, to me, it's ridiculous. All right? It's not just this one thing. It's not just the gay thing. It's not just all the other stuff we talked about. The hypocrisy of everything that's occurring in this world is just flat out sickening. the President of the United States on the White House, the People's House. They had the doggone rainbow for gay pride up on the People's House. There are individuals out there taking their picture of their face and they're composing a picture of the gay pride flag over the top of their face and they're sending it out to the world saying, yeah, it's cool, everybody can get married and all that kind of stuff, you know? And down in the underlying all of it sounds good on theory. Communism sounds good on theory. Maybe even Marxism or even anarchy, total anarchy might sound good. Everybody, it's a free-for-all. Do what you want, just don't hurt nobody. That kind of thing there. It all sounds good on the outer layer there. But when the People's House takes and forces down to the throats of all the Christians of this country out here, on one hand, you can't offend the Muslims, but on the other hand, it's all right to offend the Christians. It's all right to chop their head off. You see what I'm saying? The total hypocrisy of what's going on in this world is what I'm up in arms about. You know, I was born under the astrological sign of Libra. All right, I'm not supposed to practice astrology, but it's kind of ironic that the scales of justice right there is what I feel like, you know, everything's out of whack. Can't we all just get along kind of thing? All right, somebody is behind the scenes pushing the buttons of every single culture, every single religion, every single race, all, just trying to pit man against man, woman against woman, religion against religion, and all that kind of stuff. And the people, we the people, are standing back and we're sucking it in as if it was candy. We're taking it in. We're jumping on the bandwagon. We're fighting against this. We're fighting against that. We're arguing over this and that. And we ain't getting nothing accomplished except destroying this world. We're destroying our countries. We're destroying each other. We're destroying this world. Now, you tell me, anybody out there, I don't care whether you're a believer or a non-believer, you tell me that that is not pure evil. That's what we're up against. Somebody else take it, because I'm whiff.
You're out of puff, are you, mate?
I got a ton more to go. I just want to give you guys a chance.
If you want to talk about the sanctity of marriage, isn't marriage just supposed to be between two people?
A marriage supposed to be between a man and a woman, according to God.
That denotes, though, two people. So, if you think that there's any sanctity in marriage when you go down there to the courthouse and you introduce Uncle Sam into your bed between you and your partner, then you've made a huge error there. Because now you got an orgy. You got three people in that. Like I said, Uncle Sam's always sticking his nose in there. And that's what I see going on with this whole gay...
why I said we've been hijacked.
They should never have been allowed to tell people who can and can't get married so that they can stick their... Because the only thing they're interested in is they're going to climb in bed with you so they can reach in your pocket and pull your wallet out to get your money out. That's what it's all about.
That's why I say we've been hijacked. Alright, God put Adam and Eve down in the garden there. Didn't put Adam and Steve in the garden. That's not what the storybook said. And if it's just a storybook, then that's the storybook I'm following so far. Because to this point, I haven't found anything to prove to me that there is no God. Now,
like I said, my position is stop issuing marriage licenses for anybody.
Well...
Nobody gets a marriage license. If you want a marriage license, the government's not who you go to.
But this
is... You go to whoever you happen to worship at, or whatever pastor, or whatever. If you want somebody to hand you something from overhead that they can write on a piece of paper and they can say, yes, I have an authority to issue this, then let it be your church.
This isn't even about gay or straight or this or that. This is about everything. This is about the total divide and conquer, the total... lack of everything that has to do with anything decent. I'm not a pedophile. Not a pedophile. Does anybody here believe that pedophilia is good?
Listen, man.
You spent 10 years covering it up.
I was going to say, you're going to an extreme here. The point is, okay, The government.
Well, not really. You have to understand the history of Ireland.
Let me, sorry, mate.
250,000 children were raped and abused by the Catholic Church, and they spent the best part of 20 years covering it up.
We've not talked about the Catholic Church, though.
No, we're talking about schizophrenia.
Talking about.
And they are supporters of it.
And listen, man, there are children that are starving to death, too, right now. But I don't see any one of you out there listening to us going over there and feeding anybody that's hungry.
Well, for my own personal
if we're
going to
do something about it, then God damn it, get up. Excuse me, sorry about that. But it's really irritating for me to hear people go on and on about problems in the world, but then you look and see they don't lift a finger to do anything about it.
Yeah,
okay.
Hey, listen, I found out three people in the last 20 years that I've been living where I'm at now were being accused, okay, of doing things like raping and child molestation and whatnot. And you know what I did? I invested my time and effort to find out whether they were or not. And the two that I found out really were, I turned them over to the police.
Yeah.
That's
how
what needs to be done.
I hear yells and screams about pedophilia or, you know, abuse or rape or anything like that, but then that's all they do is they just talk. They don't actually get out and try to do anything to put a stop to it.
Thomas.
That's right, because most people in those homes are the ones doing it. Like, for instance, there's a school across the street on the weekends. I let my six-year-old daughter go play with the other kids at the school. Some parents bring my daughter home and they're like, oh, aren't you worried? Aren't you worried? Aren't you worried what really goes on in closed doors in people's own homes through family?
Now,
yeah, sure, we hear one little girl getting kidnapped every 2 months and killed, but how many little girls are at home being followed by their fathers, their uncles, their nephews, their cousins? Goes on behind closed doors more than it goes on in the real world because people are too worried about people seeing.
But what?
Or nobody sees.
What do we know in this world is real? Seriously, what do we know outside of my door? I'm looking out the out my window right now. I don't see no jihadist out there. I don't see no wars. I don't see all this stuff. I don't see none of this stuff. And continuously through the mainstream media, through the alternative media, the networks of people throughout the entire world, I'm being told every single day that there's these terrors and these atrocities, and everybody out there who knows me by now knows my heart. And I would not stand for anybody harming a child. I would not stand for any kind of injustice whatsoever. I'm just saying this. Somebody, some power, some entity, whatever you want to call it, because I don't believe in any form or fashion that man is evil. All right? I believe that we have free will. I believe that we have the capabilities of leaning either way, towards the light or the dark, however you want to look at it. But somebody out there is stirring the pot so intensely, and it gets worse and worse and worse by the day till the point where I'm like just sitting here myself in my own personal life. I'm pulling my freaking hair out because I'm like, my God, what's going on? That book talked about it. That book talked about wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famine and pestilence and all that kind of stuff. And every time I even remotely even talk about that book, boy, I start a firestorm of this. Oh, well, that's this and that and whatever. I don't care what you believe. I don't care whether you're a Christian or not.
This is the thing I'm trying to say, though, about that whole government making rules about marriage. Since when has a marriage license issued by a judge had any denotion of spirituality? There's nothing spiritual about a judge.
I don't care about the marriage license. That's
what I'm talking about, though, is they are making laws about who can and can't have a marriage license.
My marriage...
They're going according to their book, though. The book is their Bible. They are religion.
Well, my marriage...
Who is?
The government is religion. You swear on an oath.
My marriage is between me, my wife, and our God. And I don't care about that. In society, we have to go through all these rules and regulations because it's literally forced upon us. If I didn't, if the government wasn't telling me I needed it, I wouldn't have it.
So here's, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So here's the thing, okay? Let's say that they say they make it illegal for you to get married.
I'd do it anyway.
They don't make it illegal for you to live together. They don't make it illegal for you to go to church and decide, you know, in your religion that, you know, to consider yourselves married. They don't make it illegal for you to wear a ring. So, you know.
I'd do it anyway.
Right. So you're still doing what they said you can't do according to the you know, and that's what's going on with this whole other system. I mean, well, people are going to do what people are going to do. So,
right.
The point is, they made this whole marriage license thing a connection to it within the government, so they could dip into your pocket.
It's
so
all of it.
As a method of control, so they could use it as a method of control. Okay, and it's just like legalizing tobacco, legalizing alcohol, legalizing marijuana. They start taxing it the second that they legalize it. And if they don't legalize it, that means they don't get to collect the tax.
They make money off of sickness. They make money off of death. They make money off of racism. They make money off of hate and discontent of every form and fashion. The military-industrial complex of this world is a multi-trillion dollar industry. I don't agree with them. We the people do not agree with them. But we the people are allowing a minority, a really tiny minority of sick and demented and twisted, hateful, satanic, evil individuals to destroy everything that we personally believe in. I can be a friend with an atheist. I can be a friend with a Buddhist. I can be a friend with a Muslim. And I don't have to agree with what their holy book says. But I can be friends with them. They respect me. I respect them. And it's a give and take deal right there. But we have a small minority of really sick, twisted individuals that are turning this world inside out. This whole gay picture over there, I don't care if a dude wants to sleep with a dude. I don't care if a woman wants to sleep with a woman. If there is a God such as the one that I believe in, they'll have to answer for their own deal. All I can do is live my life and lead by example according to what I believe Christianity is supposed to be. And the Pope holding a mockery of the Christ that I believe in tells me that the Pope is not a Christian. And never was.
Well, here's the thing, though. You just said that those the gay and lesbian people get to do what they want and answer for their choices when the day. So why is it not the same for the Pope?
He'll answer to his own deal. He'll answer. He's in a position of what we would classify as authority. All right, of the churches, of all, he's like the Pope, the Catholic Church.
I don't consider him an authority of any kind.
But there are thousands of people who do.
Hospital and seeing a partner, if you do not have approval by the state to be in that,
exactly.
Partner.
See, that's where it comes down to the state sticking their fingers in, making rules and laws so they can collect money, so they can control you to get resources from you, whether it's your compliance, or it's actually more than that.
Okay,
that shouldn't exist. There should not be any entity that is a go-to for who gets to visit who in the hospital. There should be, if you want somebody to be able to visit you in the hospital, drop a contract ahead of time, and you two sign that thing and get it notarized, so that everybody knows that the two of you were there and agreed to it, and that's it.
So let's follow.
No other question.
Let's follow the religion of the state to its source, all right? Because
the gospel according to Congress.
Who?
The gospel according to Congress.
Yeah, the gospel according to Congress. Let's follow it to their entity. Where is the government stance? Where is their divine leader? take me to your leader. I want to find the leader of the other side over there, which in my view is literally Satan himself. I want to know where it's all coming from. Because every single day, without fail, I'm told that there's people going in shooting up schools. There's people going in shooting up churches. There's people being beheaded over here. There's children starving over here. There's a war going on over here. Every single day, without fail, for like as long as I can even remember in since this stupid internet has even started, that I've been told through the TV, through the satellite, through the radio, that this outside of my house out there is a terrible war zone. You see what I'm saying? This goes so much deeper than gay rights. It goes so much deeper than the rebel flag. It goes so much deeper than the Ku Klux Klan and all the different... I've seen my American flag spit on. I've seen my Bible spit on. I've had my beliefs treaded on. And it's just a continuous, never-ending grind of an attack towards me, what I believe personally, spiritually. Now, I'm not saying I'm the only one being attacked, because everybody out there is getting a dose of it. What I'm saying is, I want to find the source of where all this is coming from, because what's going on out there, according to what they keep telling me, I don't agree with it. I don't agree with treating people the way that our government has treated people in the past, from the Native Indians to the Chinese to the Japanese to the Irish to the Scottish to all the immigrants, the Mexicans, everybody who's came to this nation. I do not agree with what the governments of this country has done to people. But I still hold fast to the deal that the dream of we the people, this country, the United States of America, the melting pot of the world, I still believe in that dream. And I'm watching it being stomped on. Who's doing it?
Well, Shaziz, the gospel according to Congress doesn't discriminate. They don't care what race or religion you are. They want to control you. And every single time a bunch of bureaucrats sit down with a piece of paper and a pen, they're thinking up new and more interesting ways to divide us and control us.
Well, you know what?
I can't see it as being much more complicated than that.
If I had power over this situation, first thing that would go would be every single dollar bill, yen, ruble, or any kind of money system out there. Gold and silver would just disappear off this planet. There wouldn't be anything of value outside of food out there.
Well, it'd be gone. They say that money makes the world go round. You're familiar with that phrase, yeah?
Yeah, he who has the gold makes the rules, that kind of deal.
Well, not so much that, but I mean, if you think about it literally, money doesn't make the world go round, because if you want to fly, say, from the US to Australia, it's about $12,000 for a business class seat, one way. And if you put $12,000 on the seat, on the pilot's seat in an aeroplane, you're going to go nowhere. It's not money that makes the world go round, it's people. But people put their belief in money as though it's some sort of sacred institution or religion. And when we start realizing that the people that create wealth are us,
how many
maybe
people?
Then it's time to take it away from private institutions.
I have to kind of split a hair with that, and that's that people don't create wealth; they create value by doing things and creating things. Yeah. They create value, and people have turned this wealth system into a way of delineating the value that you have so that it becomes worth more when they have your value, when they take it from you, and it's worth less while you're producing it.
What about the value of the human life, man? What about how is it that people can put any inanimate object such as a dollar bill, a gold, diamond, or silver above a human life? How is it that you can take and sell your brother down the river for 7 pieces of silver or whatever and live with yourself? How?
Shaziz, they've made a situation where there's more people than there is money. So people are a less valuable commodity. It's as simple as that. That's why there isn't enough to go
there. In my mind, in my heart, my own personal spiritual journey, the good people of this world are the true gold of this world. And there ain't no dollar bill that could put a price tag on anybody's life. I don't care if there's a hateful bastard out there. I don't care. I don't believe that person should be tortured and murdered because, it boggles my mind how any man can believe that he has the authority to take another person's life or to enslave another individual or whatever. My brain can't comprehend that kind of hatred. I saw a video some time back, and I literally went to my pastor of my church, and I was in tears talking to him, and I told him, I said, look, man, I said, today I looked into the eyes of pure evil. I watched as a gang over in Mexico literally beheaded several women, and I know that this video is real. I know the difference between CGI and green screen and blue screen. I know the difference between sounds and visuals and all that kind of stuff. I know that what I was watching was without a doubt not fake. And to see that kind of terror, and I pray to God, I wish there was some way that I could take that memory out of my head and never, ever have seen what I saw. The brutality and the degrading of those women, the way that they did them women and the people that stood around idly by while this occurred and took part of it. It sickened me to my very core. I saw a video from China where there were a crowd of people standing around. There's an individual standing on a child's hand because he was a little white baby in China. And they were standing on this baby's hand. And they were smacking this baby. And everybody stood around. Everybody stood around and nobody jumped in there to say, that's wrong, stop it. They stood there while some grown adult stood on that baby's hand. Now, you talk about differences of how far a person could be pressed before they would go against their own beliefs and want to commit murder. That was the time for me. Because at that point in time, had I would have been standing in that crowd, I would have pulled the wrath down on those individuals that were standing around. I don't care whether it was a lady, a man, or whatever. Anybody who stood idly by and watched as that child's arm was being stomped on by that individual and laughing about it. You would have seen me go from the light side to the dark side instantaneously because the scales of justice were so far off balances. The children, they rely on the adults out here to be the guidance and the protectors. When they come into this world, they are innocent. When they come into this world, they look up at us as if we were gods. And they look up at us as if, as long as they're in daddy's arms, as long as they're in mama's arms, they're safe and the world's all fine. Anybody who would defile that innocence, to me, is pure evil.
Which is this? We need people on YouTube videoing someone getting hurt, choking to death, getting run over, whatever. Or do we need people that will hand their camera to someone else and go and put the beat down on them?
That's what I'm talking about.
When you do that.
That's what I'm talking about. I mean, you put the camera down, you don't want to worry about filming that thing. You go over there and you protect that baby with everything you got. Now that to me is justice.
I'd rather see somebody on a video beating the living snot out of somebody that does that than uploading it saying, look how bad it is. Well, we don't need you to tell us how bad it is. We know. We need something to do about it. And there's a common phrase from World War II that goes along the lines of, evil triumphs when good people do nothing. And unfortunately, a lot of good people are doing nothing. And I've seen so much evidence of that recently, I'm getting sick and tired of listening to it.
Well, the good people of this world, and I agree with Thomas and you both about the time to talk is over. It's been over. It's been over for a long time. But the good people of the world are sitting there arguing about a rebel flag. They're arguing about a gay pride symbol. The White House, the people's house, it has the gay pride on the side of the building. It's in your face. You what are you going to do about it? You can't do nothing about it. It's the White House. Instead...
When I lived in Dublin, there was a black guy beating a woman in the middle of the street, in the middle of the day. And I walked up to him and I said, you've got to stop that. And he said, what are you going to do about it? I said, if you don't stop hitting that woman, I'll start hitting you. So you've got a choice to walk away. And he walked away, because he's a bully. I mean, a guy twice the size of the woman that he was slapping around in the street, and people standing there with their hands over their mouth saying, shocking. But when somebody actually had the balls to go up to him and say, you need to stop that right now, because if you keep doing it, I'm going to do to you what you're going to do, what you're currently doing to that woman. I don't care what your problem is with her. You know, you find a different way to deal with it, but you do not do it in the middle of the street in broad daylight.
Yeah, you even behind it. Doors is bad. Don't do it at all. I mean, we can't be behind everybody's door to protect everybody. But when, when the knowledge comes to you...
Is we don't know what's going on behind closed doors, but what you do see, you should do something about.
I agree wholeheartedly.
You can never know what's going on behind a closed door. That's impossible. That's a battle that you're never going to win. But when you see it going on, I mean, I would have been quite happy to have given the guy a good slap up the side of the head. I'm kind of a bit older and a bit wiser now, and I probably wouldn't do it, but I'd certainly walk up and say, look, you know, you've got 10 seconds to clear out of here before I call the police. I don't like violence. I don't like hurting people, and don't like being in physical altercation. There's nothing. But at the same point, should you stand by and say, "Oh, look at that! Isn't it shocking?"
Well, you know, I'm just the whole thing. It just boggles my mind how good people can just stand idly by while somebody else is either oppressed or abused or anything like that. You know, I heard a clip some time back where it talked about, you know, they came for the Jew and you said nothing, and they came for, you know, it went on down the long list of all the people that they came for, and you did nothing, you said nothing, and when they finally came for you, there wasn't nobody to help you either. If we can't grasp the concept across our belief systems or our whatever out there to the point that we're going to stand up and be the actual caretakers, our brother's keeper, and help them out when they need help, then who's going to be there for us when we need help? If I saw any one of you in trouble, I would come to your rescue and do whatever I could to make it right. There's individuals out there who, for fear of their own safety, don't want to get involved with anything. You know, I've seen tons and tons of videos out there of all kinds of violence, and there are people who are so afraid they stand idly by, and they won't jump in there to help somebody. Where are the heroes of the world? Where are the people over there, like Thomas said, don't talk about feeding this baby, go feed this baby. I can't get to Africa, or I'd be feeding the babies. But if there's a baby in my neighborhood, I can feed that baby. Somebody knows somebody who knows somebody who has connections in Africa that can get that baby fed. So we can funnel money to that person directly, not through some sort of organization who's going to take 80 cents off of every dollar to feed them. That's going to take that entire dollar to feed them. There's got to be some sort of common sense.
Today in Singapore, the Lions Club, it's like one of these charitable institutions, invited 5,000 elderly people to what effectively was an aircraft hangar for lunch today as an elderly appreciation event. And they folded paper dumplings for like a Guinness Book of World Records for the most people in one place folding dumplings. I mean, it sounds a bit silly, but the point being is there are places and societies in the world that value their elderly.
And they should. Everyone.
Over 1,000 volunteers turned up to serve these elderly under the guise of being a server. Nothing else. You're just there to serve people who are usually from low-income areas, and they get a day out. It doesn't cost them a penny because people have put the rand in their pockets, they funded it. 5,000 people in one building is one massive organisation, you know. Hundreds of coaches pitched up to deliver these people. But, you know, it's not all bad news. I mean, as you said, you know, if you listen to what people were saying in the US, if you went to Walmart to get a carton of milk, then you want to be going in a bulletproof vest with a, you know, like a military helmet. Because you supposedly there's a massive civil war going on, and I don't see that.
There's a terrorist behind every bush. They got cameras on our kids. They got metal detectors on our kids, man. When you go to school to take your kid to school, you got to buzz in order to get into the school, because this world has told everybody that everybody has to live in fear. The government's there to protect you. The government's there to ensure that your safety and your health is looked after. But the government is doing a crappy job. They're doing a terrible job.
According to them, they're doing a great job. Because, I mean, if you want to take the British rule of divide and conquer, that's what social engineering is about in the 21st century. It's dividing groups into small, polarized units, so they've got something to argue with each other about. And this whole thing about gay marriage, I mean, there's a big joke in Ireland. Whenever the government's in trouble, they bring up two things, abortion or gay marriage. So if the government have implemented some policy that the population doesn't like, then they start talking about a referendum on abortion or gay marriage, and everybody goes bonkers.
Well, whilst everyone is
you missed one, man. They also start talking about internet privacy.
Yeah, whilst everyone...
Not in Ireland. The internet's crap there.
Whilst everyone is out here arguing back and forth of who's right, who's wrong, attacking Christianity, attacking Buddhism, Muslims, Hindus, whatever, any religious beliefs or whatever, any kind of semblance of what could even remotely look like morality under attack, whether or not this is racist or that's racist. If you're going to ban anything, you need to ban everything. You need to ban the planet, all right? Because the whole dang smear is a mess. And the governments of this world are either on some serious crack, or they're mentally ill, or just pure evil.
I was going to say, they're not on the crack, they're selling the crack.
I don't doubt that either.
Unfortunately, everybody's buying it.
They're running guns, they're running drugs. I mean, it's a free-for-all, man.
And it's called morality.
A what?
Morality is a subjective concept.
All right, what I think morality is, what my own personal view of morality
is... It's not so much what you think it is, Shaziz. It's the people that hold the guns, that hold the power, that claim that they have a right to use violence against you. That's who the...
I did a funny video some time back called Moral Dilemma, all right? I had this $100 set of drums out in my lab, and I had the dilemma, was everybody's asleep. Should I or should I not play that drum? But out of fun, I went and played the drums in the middle of the night. Of course, woke everybody up. I shouldn't have done that, but that's just a simple deal of what you choose to do, whether it's right or wrong. Should you wake everybody in the house up, or should you not wake everybody out of the house up? It's a moral dilemma.
Well, my tenancy agreement had a term in it that I could be removed from the property, also forfeit my deposit if I was morally abhorrent. And I asked them, well, what's the definition of morality? I mean, in some people's countries, morals is wearing, you know, a piece of cloth from your head to your ankles, and if you don't do that, you're acting in an immoral manner. It's an arbitrary term that's so easily interpreted to anybody's particular regional beliefs.
Okay, so
I try and put it across.
So where is the simplest terminology without any kind of there probably isn't none. There probably isn't no simple term that you can use for basically that nobody can turn or twist or redefine or whatever that you could say. The decency of mankind, the morality of mankind, the difference between right and wrong, just pure goodness or something that, you know, you just
dignity.
Don't cross this line.
Dignity, should it? Do you conduct yourself in a manner that makes you yourself feel ashamed? Because then nobody else owns that. You own that yourself.
Well,
nobody can tell you what's dignified and what's not dignified.
Be careful there, because some people know no shame.
Well, then they're dignity that we don't understand. It's as simple as that, mate. I mean, a lot of people like the idea of walking onto a beach with no clothes on. Is that immoral? Is it dignified?
The government... I guess we have put like as a buffer zone between us and what our beliefs or our whatever, you know.
What we've done is we've allowed a system to be created that allows us to escape being responsible. Whenever things go wrong, whose fault is it? Oh, it's Bush's fault. After Obama gets out of office, oh, it's Obama's fault. When Carter got out of office. Oh, it was Jimmy Carter's fault.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm trying to say is, in a civilized society, we have governments because we want to make sure that everybody's rights are protected according to, you know, we the people. But it was initially, according over here at least, it was initially set up for by the government, for the government, or whatever, by the people, for the people, but now it's by the government, for the government. And behind the government is the special interest group. So if you want to get anything done, you can get a whole bunch of people to lobby to go talk to the government. The squeakiest wheel gets the grease. So if they're out there squeaking all day long every day, somebody wants to shut them up and says, all right, well, let's give them this so they'll shut up and then they'll go on about their business and we can still sell our drugs and guns and go around killing people and get rich. Where does it end?
You mean get richer?
Rich is to wealthy, I don't know. All I'm saying is somewhere behind the scenes of all this deal. All right, if there's a God, there's got to be something on the opposite side, on the negative side. There's got to be a devil. And the devil is kicking everybody's butt. The devil's got the black man against the white man, against the Jew, against the Christian, the Muslim, the Buddhist. Everybody's out there under the guise of their own beliefs doing what they think is right to do. I'm going to go over there because your people attack my people and I'm going to kill off a bunch of your people. The tooth for a tooth and an eye for an eye has went past a tooth for a tooth to a tooth for I'm going to kill 100 million people with a nuclear bomb or a conventional weapon or whatever. When does it stop? When is it going? I keep going back to this story where I heard this man asking these two little Palestinian girls. It said, do you think you could ever have peace with Israel? And the little girl said, no, we don't want peace with Israel. They killed our mommy and daddy. Now, if that ain't the most heartbreaking thing that you've ever heard in your entire life, because now these kids, when they get old enough to carry a gun, are going to carry a gun, and they're going to go over there, and they're going to get the whole thing started again. They're going to go and kill somebody else's mom and dad. They're going to retaliate. Back and forth, the Hatfields and McCoy story. They started fighting. Years later, when they were still fighting, they couldn't remember what the heck they started to fight. Was it over a pig? Was it over a cow? Did somebody offend somebody? Whatever it was, they're still fighting. Over there in the Middle East, they've been fighting for how long? 1,000 years? 2,000 years?
Which is this, I haven't been to Palestine, but I have been to Afghanistan. And when I was in Kabul, there was a 10-year-old kid digging a ditch, like a water runoff channel. Thick calluses on his hand. And he turned round to me, because my adoptive family that come from there knew him. And they always give him a few Afghanis, like the local currency, to get something to eat with every day when they go out the door. And they give this kid some money so he can eat. And, you know, they said, I've forgotten his name. I think it was Ahmed. But he said to me in perfect English, he said, we love Jesus too, so why do Christians want to kill us? And I kind of said to him, well, it's not really a religious thing, you know. I mean, it's kind of complicated and would take a very long time to explain, but I'll do my best.
I wished I could have been there. Because the truth of the matter is that Christians wouldn't want to kill them. Christians,
that's what I told
a
you.
True
they
Christian.
Don't want to. Christians don't want to kill you.
A true Christian goes by the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Now, okay, there's individuals who believed to be Christians who went out and fought in wars and did what they thought they were defending their nation, defending their whatever. I don't know how to justify that, or if it even can be justified. But I know that whenever it says, thou shalt not kill, there wasn't no subsection A, article B, under the micro print in the fine print C. It was plain and simple. Thou shalt not kill. And for me or anybody else to go out there and say that my God said that I have to kill you because you're infidel or whatever, that would make me not a Christian according to my own personal beliefs. I don't look down on somebody because they're gay or straight or whatever. I don't judge people by their beliefs or walk in life. It's not my place to judge because I'm not God. I don't have that authority. But
I had the opportunity to sit down with a Muslim cleric in Afghanistan. And he said, there's one thing that the Christians and the Muslims have in common is thou shalt not kill. And any guy that goes out killing people in the name of Allah is not a Muslim.
Well, that's why I say we've been hijacked. The whole entire system has been hijacked. The black race has been hijacked. The white race has been hijacked. The Chinese have been hijacked. The Japanese have been hijacked. The Scottish have been hijacked. The Irish have been hijacked. The Spanish American Mexicans or whatever been hijacked. All the races and all the religions and all everything that is what you believe in from your own personal, the way that you were raised for your family, anything that has have any remote resemblance of goodness in your life or your moral standards or whatever has been hijacked. If we're ever to fix this mess, we got to find the source. I mean, the actual physical source, whether it be the up there at the top of the pyramid where the Illuminati or the Freemasons and all these people, and we need to nip it in the bud. If you're going to go out there and you're going to fight against evil, we need to track it down to the source. We, the people, need to follow those dollars back to the bank that is the fattest and find out why and what it is that they're up to. And if they're the ones that are stirring this pot, if they're the ones that are doing it, they're the ones that need to be banned. They're the ones that need to be in jail. Now, the President of the United States, according to our Constitution, has broke so many laws it ain't even remotely funny. He needs to be either banned or in jail. But I don't say anybody should go out there and harm him. Because unless he is the devil, then he's a person.
She is. I'd like Tom's comment on this as well. But the phrase that the pen is mightier than the sword is probably true, because there are institutions in this world where they can sit down with a piece of paper and a pen and literally kill millions of people.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think on that, Tom?
You still there, Thomas?
maybe we can get a cup of tea. But, you know, what you were saying about the American president breaking lots of laws is probably quite relevant in the fact that before, he couldn't do it without the permission of Congress. But now he just seems to think that, oh, well, executive order.
Yeah.
It doesn't apply to me anymore. I can use a pen and a piece of paper and then we'll just start bombing the country.
All right, we're
the
forced...
fact that that country isn't really a threat to us seems to be irrelevant.
We're forced into contracts if we want certain things. And even before we're even born, we're forced into contracts. The birth certificate, the Social Security number, everything. We're forced into contracts. And unless you know enough about the law and common law to be able to go back and get yourself out of all those contracts, then you're pretty much stuck in the system. If I want to drive my vehicle without the threat of somebody coming pulling me over with a gun and taking me off to jail and having my property towed away from me, I have to carry a, I have to carry a driver's license. That's a contract. Well, the United States Constitution to me is a contract. That was the line of defense, the line in the sand between me and my government and all of our people, that we agreed that this is what we want. All right, this is the kind of society that we want. I have watched in my short lifetime, I've watched this thing being picked at and depleted and basically just stomped on. I've watched the American flag that I believed in. Now, I'm a patriot, you know. I got American flags around my deal. I got a picture of my grandfather from World War II. I've got an actual copy of the United States Constitution sitting right in front of my face. I got a statue that has the eagle on it that says "In God We Trust" on it. All right, these are coming from everything that I was raised to believe in, God and country, you know. And I'm watching as this world literally spits in the face of every single thing that I believe in. I'm watching as our veterans are coming home with their arms chopped off, their legs chopped off, brain damage and everything under the sun. And I'm watching as our own nation are ignoring these people. Justin said it earlier about the elderly. When you get too old, you get put off in a home and your children may come visit you once in a while. How are those elderly being treated? You know, the Native Americans, they took and kept their elderly, their grandfathers, their elders, they kept them in the tribe. They all took care of them. You were taken care of from the time you were born till the time you died. You were taken care of by that culture. Now,
which is this? Last week, I signed up towards what they call a... there's a charitable institution in this country where I'm living that has what they call a befriender service. And basically, I need permission from the government through the aegis of a charitable organisation to go round to an elderly person's house and change a light bulb for them.
There's people in Texas being arrested for feeding the homeless, man.
Well, I mean, isn't that totally against the fundamental concept of Christian values? As I understand Christianity, it's kind of, you know, first and foremost, you make sure that yourself and your own are stable, but when you are, you give what you can to make sure everybody else is too. And that builds a much more equitable society.
Yep. You give not for want of return. You give because you're being a good caretaker of your brother's keeper. And it doesn't matter who you are out there in the world, and this isn't some sort of Arkansas inbred redneck joke or anything like that. We're all brothers and sisters. We're all basically of the same. We're humans, all right? And
well, if you want to get into biblical parables, let's think about, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven.
Yeah.
And there's also the one about, you know, you've got like the town big mouth. He's got a lot of money, he's got a lot of wealth, makes a big show of putting lots of money into the collection. And then you've got the old lady sitting at the front, at the back pew, that puts, you know, a few pennies, because that's all she's got. But the few pennies are far more valuable because she is making a sacrifice to give it, because she wants that to go to the rest of the community to help them, whereas the rich guy wouldn't even notice it.
Well, and I have a grievance with the churches, Steve. I got a grievance with the churches because there's a lot of churches out there here in the United States that you got to be a member of that church in order to get help from them. Now, my belief is this. If I was a pastor of a church, if I had my own church, I would tell the people right out of the gate. The first thing that they would know is that when they come through those doors, I would say, if you notice, there is no offering plate over here. There will never be an offering plate over here. If you want to donate to this church, if you want to help this church out, you go out there with your money and your labors and your love, and you help the community. You help God's people firsthand. Walk over there and hand them a loaf of bread. Don't give me the money as the middleman. You go out there and give it to them direct. That's how you'll pay your tithe to the church. You don't pay no money to this church. And if there's something on this church that you see that you don't like that needs to be fixing, and you want to go over there and paint the wall, then by all means, paint the wall. But there will not be any money changing hands in this holy house of worship right here. You go out there and you give it to the people if you want to tie it to this church. Now, the churches over here, they've got a wonderful floor show going on. You go there, you can hear music. They sell CDs, and it's like a big old floor show. And to me, that's not what it's about. And there's other churches out there that are continuously telling you, oh, don't forget to donate. You know, we got to keep the lights on. Hey, you know what? I don't care. Shut the lights off. I'll throw a solar panel up. I'll light it up. If we ain't got no solar panels, I'll put some candles over there. We'll do what we do with candlelight.
Well, it's called BYO. If the church ain't got no lights, bring your own candle.
The government has its hands in the churches under the 501(c)(3) tax exempt status. The government has its hands in the churches. And they say...
I looked at that, Judith.
Yeah, they say... Separation of church and state.
Which is this. That turns a church from a religious organization into a charitable institution.
Yeah, that's what they say. But what it tells me is that it puts the government's hand in God's pocket.
God doesn't have any pockets. You don't need them.
Well, I'm just hypothetical, man. Look, I'm just saying that.
I know what you mean.
The church is God's. When I give money...
Where is all this leading us?
Where is all this leading us? I think that if they're going to recognize anything, any major problem in this world, they need to recognize that somebody is behind the scenes stirring the pot to keep everyone in fear, to keep everyone mad at each other, to keep the wars perpetuated. Look... You guys, gals out there listening in, you're fighting against the wrong people. It isn't your neighbor. It isn't the gay guy or the gay gal. It isn't the black man or the white man. It isn't all this that you keep being propagandized to believe, to hate, to be upset about. It is the system of the beast which is eating you alive, and you are feeding it. Putting a picture over the top of your picture that says that you're cool with the whole gay pride thing. You're going to stand up for this, right? That isn't your idea. That's the system's idea. And the same thing would apply for anybody out there putting a crucifix over their picture to just go say, look, hey, I'm on this side. I'm on that side. Everyone's got sides. If you're going to take the side of humanity, then stand on the side of humanity and let everyone live, let everyone be, and ensure that you stand up when it's time to stand up against evil.
Which is this, I've got quite a few gay and lesbian friends, and the message I get from that is love is universal. And it's not up to one group of people to tell another group of people that they're permitted in society to love each other.
I agree.
It's not up to the state, it's not up to the church, it's up to the individual.
I agree. It's not me saying it. I'm not saying that I don't. Am I gay? No. And do I agree with a man marrying a man according to my spiritual beliefs? No, I don't believe that. All right. Well, that's not my business. It's not my. I have no right to judge anyone out there. I am not trying to degrade anybody because of their choices out there. I'm not trying to tell them what to do or whatever. I'm not even trying to force my beliefs on anybody. All I am saying that is, from my point of view, I don't agree with this. All right? But when it's shoved in your face, there is only one reason why anybody shoves anything in your face, and that is to get you to either come over to their point of view or to divide and conquer you. That's it.
It's kind of sad that that goes on, but there does seem to be quite a lot of it in society where people that don't believe in what they're talking about make great pains and efforts and put a lot of time, energy, and intellect into something that is nothing more than disruptive to the structure of society.
Well, they don't stick a gun in your face because they want to give you a choice.
They don't need to stick a gun in your face. It's this whole mental exercise of abuse of your fellow man. And that's what it comes down to. I mean, I read a really interesting article from an Irish guy who was gay that said, "I do not need the state to decide whether it's acceptable for me to marry my partner or not.
If I
make a contract with him, I don't need a third party in it."
If I were walking down the street and I saw a black man in the gutter and he wasn't breathing, and it took CPR and I had to give him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, I would give it everything I got to try to bring that man to life. If I come down the road, after everything I've been told, you know, that if you're gay, you could have AIDS or whatever. If I saw somebody that I knew 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt was gay and potentially had AIDS, I would still do the same exact thing. And if I died for my action, then I die in my belief justified trying to save this individual's life. Now,
well, it's kind of interesting, Shiz, that the amount of the AIDS virus you need to ingest so it overcomes your immune system is incredibly unlikely to occur from resuscitating somebody through mouth-to-mouth.
But do you know how many people would literally walk by for fear that they would catch a disease trying to give somebody CPR? Do you know how many people would stand idly by and watch somebody die just for the fear that they might catch a communicable disease? If you can't...
I've been doing first aid since I was 12 years old. When I worked for an American multinational in the Republic of Ireland, I was the first aid manager for the best part of 6 years. One of the things that we were trained to do was to use resuscitation masks, which is literally just a sheet of plastic with a plastic cup in the middle, in case somebody suffered chemical burns, where you couldn't give them mouth-to-mouth resuscitation because you'd end up getting burnt yourself. And it's not that you get burnt. It means you wouldn't be able to complete the process.
Yeah, well, and I can understand precautions under certain that from a trained individual, but I'm saying just your average Joe walking down the road, you know?
You can use a piece of newspaper if necessary. I mean, this was part of the training we were given. Look, these are really nice plastic sheets with this special breathing apparatus in the middle, but if you haven't got one, use a sheet of plastic, use a plastic bag, whatever you've got to do. You know, you are being trained to save someone's life. And the way you save their life is to keep them breathing, keep their heart moving until somebody who actually knows what they're doing turns up. I've got no illusions whatsoever that I'm medically trained. But what I have been trained in is extreme trauma cases where I can at least keep the heart moving, keep the lungs moving until somebody that actually knows what they're doing gets there.
Yeah.
Now, I think that's the best most of us can hope for, because we've neither the time or the resources to go out and become doctors, become nurses. I mean, that is a vocational skill for a lot of people, and I have a huge amount of respect of a lot of the people, not all of them, but a lot of them, that are involved in that particular area of study. And I do not pretend I have even one tenth of their knowledge. But at the same point, if you can do something, do something. And I think that's the point you were trying to make.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you know, we're all seeking the truth. We're all seeking we're heading somewhere, and I believe we're all heading to the same exact place. We're just fighting over how to get there or whatever. But every individual out there, I don't care what color, race, religion, or whatever, and I despise the whole racist word. I despise labels of all sorts. You know, I call myself a Christian because that's all I got. You know, what else can I explain to somebody? That's my belief. But the moment I open my mouth and I say that I'm a Christian, oh wow, you know, you want to talk about attack? You'll get told a lot of stuff. You'll get told about how your belief is fake and how the Bible is phony and this and that. You know, they'll run it down for you. All right. If it isn't for me to judge on the other side, then it shouldn't be for them to judge on this side. What comes around goes around, all that kind of stuff. What we all have in common is that we all should be taking care of everybody. We'll sort out the rest of the stuff when we get to the end of the road. But what's going on right now, the divide and conquer tactics out there, the negative side of the information war is literally kicking our butts, and we got to stop it. We got to find that source. We got to find the actual source, and we got to merge on that source and stop it.
Well, Shaziz, not so long ago, I came across a guy in Ireland that was to say abusive with creative profanity would be an understatement. He didn't like me because I'm English, and there is a long history between England and Ireland. And he was bad-mouthing me with words that you certainly wouldn't repeat to your grandmother. And he said, "I've just insulted you. What are you going to do about it?" And I said, "Well, the only cure for ignorance is knowledge, really, and you don't seem to want to learn." And just walked away. And he was sort of kind of stunned. Because, you know, if I'd been 20 years younger, I probably would have given him new lumps that he never had before. But as you get older, you're supposed to learn. And to be honest, if I see somebody standing there spitting on a Bible, then if the whole religious thing is true, he's going to suffer a lot more for spitting on the Bible than I will for hurting him for doing so.
Well, I'm not out to hurt nobody because they don't like my beliefs. All I want to do is figure out a solution to get to the source of the problem. The behind every single feud is an instigator. There is some sort of situation, some sort of extenuating circumstance that everybody on both sides of the deal decided it was time to fight over. I want to go back there and I want to find the Jerry Springer of the world, the one that is behind the ding deal, the one that is pressing the issue of everything. Like, you know, there's a guy out there they call George Soros. So they according to all the conspiracy guys out there,
the tests are in. The results are, you are the instigator.
You're responsible, Shaziz. You personally, you are the cause of the problems in the world.
Well, then, if I'm the one that's doing this, if I'm projecting this reality out there on the world, somebody got to do me in, man, because I don't want to be that. I don't want to be the Antichrist.
You brought up Jerry Springer, so, you know, I had to bring up Maury. You know, you are the father.
Well, have you ever seen that lead into Jerry Springer where he's a little bitty kid and he's on the playground and he's getting these two people instigated and they fight and he's laughing in the background? Have you seen that?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, well, there's...
Unfortunately, Shaziz, I need to respond to your comment that if you're the evils of the world, somebody must do you in. Well, thou shalt not kill, so you're going to have to live with it.
Oh. See, it's nuts, guys. I'm trying to be like, I'd like to say peace, hope, and love to the world. Can't we all just get along? The scales of justice thing, you know? But I'm sitting here and I'm listening to everybody on a daily basis jump from this to that to whatever. You know, one day it's the rebel flag because somebody did this. Next day it was the gay pride flag because somebody did this. And everybody out there is taking sides, bouncing off of each other, while in the meantime, back at the ranch, you got Snively Whiplash and his gang signing away your countries. Going to put you under some one world government. No, that's a conspiracy. There ain't going to be no one world government. The book over there, the Holy Bible says there's going to be a one world government. All the conspiracy theories say there's going to be a one world government. The presidents of the United States come out there and said, we have the opportunity to forge a new world order. And then you have the doggone deal that says, the guy in there that says, today we are fundamentally going to change the United States of America. And everybody's, oh, yeah, right? How well did that work for you?
People in little mud-up villages in the middle of nowhere. Because, I mean, that would be a fundamental change to the United States of America, where they stopped getting guys with Xbox controllers in porta cabins, like trailer homes in Los Angeles, to bomb people on the other side of the planet through remote operated drones. Because, I mean, that's been going on for a long time.
Well, at this point,
I mean, again, what are they talking about? A fundamental change of society. Turning around to people that have cohabited, if you want to use that phrase, for thousands of years. Even in the Roman society, homosexuality wasn't a big issue.
Well,
it was kind of, well, that's what you want to do. I mean, if, you know, we don't particularly like it, but if that's what you want to do, just, you know, keep it to yourself, lads. I mean, we find it uncomfortable. It doesn't make us feel warm and fuzzy watching two fellas shift the face off each other, you know. And if you really want to do that, do it in your own home. But, you know, if you're going to come out into a society where, you know, nobody likes two teenagers standing at a bus stop eating each other, because you have these fears about zombies and stuff. But we are a sexually repressed race in the West, because there are cultures in the world where this isn't a big issue.
Well, I don't know, man. All I can say, look, the world's ate up. At this point in the game, I wished I could just afford to buy an island somewhere, move all my family out to this island, work on my own little deal, and make sure that there are no TVs or radios or any kind of media sources whatsoever, and just
you got it wrong. When you move out to your island, start your own TV station.
Yeah, I can see that now.
Think about it. Every night at 6 o'clock, you don't need lots of expensive electronic equipment. You just walk out onto your porch and say, it's groovy, baby.
There you go.
You know, today, nobody died. There were no bombs. There were no explosions. There were no beheadings. There's no jihadist son of junk from China heading over here right now.
You said it's groovy, baby, so that means basically you can't have any of that stuff around there, because they'll get attacked by the guy with the sawed-off shotgun and the chainsaw for a hand.
I do actually say that's not possible, because Shaziz is not a teenager.
Well, all I see coming out of me being on my own island with my own little Shaziz country flag would be a drone come flying in and blow me up. Because
only if you have something they want, or you threaten something they want to keep.
I might have the last coconut tree on the planet. They're coming to get it.
a little positive note about Asian countries, the coconut literally scrape the coconut is a very inert substance, and it can be used to grow food in.
Well,
hydroponically and aquaponically and a variety of different methods, it's an inert substrate, so it doesn't carry any toxic chemicals, and as a rooting material it's exceptionally effective for growing organic food. So if you've got the last coconut tree on the planet, you really will be in trouble.
Yeah. You know, we talk about there, we have all the answers to everything that has to do with alternative energy and alternative medicine, alternative governments. But what we don't have the answer to, and I'm sure we'll never get the answer to, is how to get people to grasp the concept of common sense. I don't understand. There's a tiny minority of individuals that are literally tormenting 8 billion people on this planet. Tormenting them. I mean, be it taxes, be it threats, violence, or whatever, literally tormenting the people of this planet. And we still help them. We still perpetuate it. We still go out there and protest with the signs and do all the stuff that we do. We still do our talk radio shows. And to this very day, we can't get nobody motivated enough to go over there and put a loaf of bread in the hands of the children that need the food. We can't get anybody to stop pushing the button to drop the bomb over there. We can't get anybody to stop the wars. We still got people over there, and you can say whatever you want. Other than their ideology, their religious views, or whatever, they're out there beheading people. We can't get them to stop. So somewhere behind the scenes...
Here's an example. I'll give you an example of very simple ways you can make the world a hell of a lot better place. I live in a condo. It's about 150 apartments. And we have two guys at the front entrance in a security hut. And at least maybe once or twice a week, when I make muffins or I make scones or pizza or steak and kidney pie with Guinness, you know, anything like this, I always take something down to the two lads in security. They work 12-hour shifts. They work 6 days a week. It's a boring, tedious job, and most people insult them, berate them, and treat them as though they don't exist. But I tell you what, every time I come home, whether it be night or day, the two guys in the night shift or the morning shift, they always give me a wave. It's nice to come home and feel welcome for the fact that when I'm cooking, you can't cook for two people. It's kind of the scales of economy. It's very difficult to cook something for two people, but it's really easy to cook for four. It's the chemical process involved in the whole catering industry, but why wouldn't I share something that I'm likely to find in this part of Asia that I live in, because I'm aware of death. Really appreciate it.
Well,
so if I'm making them happy, they're going to be less disappointed and distressed with the rudeness and belligerence of other people. So is that not in itself making the world slightly a better place, even just in a minuscule point?
And that's the point. You know, it takes every single individual out there to move their step forward in order to make this better. But at the same time, we got to address the beast that's on the other side of that fence that keeps wiping everybody out. And I just don't have the answer how to focus all the people of the world towards the evil and instead of each other. I don't hate nobody. I don't talk down to nobody because I don't like what they do or their beliefs or stuff like that. I'll point out the lack of common sense of it all, the madness, why we're talking about the charging people to breathe, essentially, for CO2, or why they're going to charge the sunlight or throw a man in jail for gathering up rainwater. I'll talk about all that stuff all day long.
Well, it's like Tom said earlier, a lot of people sit there and scream and shout about stuff, but they never actually do anything about it. And those two guys downstairs are there to protect me.
I'm trying to point out to everybody that this, and I'm a screaming and shouting myself, but I'm trying to point out to everybody, look, man, there's a Jerry Springer thing going on here. you guys are all fighting amongst each other over this or that, you know. It's somebody behind the scenes pushing the buttons. We know that our government has done things to destabilize other nations because of whatever purpose they thought was the ends justify the means. But they haven't just destabilized one nation. They've destabilized all nations. They've destabilized all races, all religious beliefs, and all of humanity is in an uproar. Total chaos. Wars, rumors of wars, plagues, famine, pestilence. You know, if you're going to have a system, a military-industrial complex that is literally bioengineering diseases that they can use as a weapon towards another nation, you got something wrong going on, man.
Well, Shazooz, I do believe that the People's Free Republic of Trumpton, a nuclear-free zone of Brighton, is doing quite well. So not all of them. I think there's about 7 people there.
Yeah, but how long till the messed up system encroaches on all the good systems of the world? Thomas Jefferson said the price to freedom is eternal vigilance. Your free will it should be your free will, but you don't have the opportunity to exercise your free will because there's always somebody else thinking they got to be in your business.
Well, you do have the opportunity to exercise it, but it comes with consequences.
Yeah,
that's the truth of it.
Let's take a quick music break, get some coffee, and come back and try to bring this down to a common sense level and point out what possible solution that we would have in order to fix this mess.
Shazooz, can I mention a little article I came across from the Philippines?
Yeah.
When we get back, about the young boy that studies by the light of a fast food store.
Yeah. Let's do that.
It's kind of an interesting article.
So when we come back, Steve's going to share an article with you, and we're going to try to catch our breath and bring this down to a level. All I'm saying to you guys and gals out there, I'm not hating on anybody. You know, your choices are your choices, and they're always going to be that. But the behind the scenes, our governments or our representatives out there, or maybe the folks behind the scenes of the corporations or all the way up to the secret societies or wherever it is that they're coming from, are not looking out for your best interest. They want to keep you fighting. They want to keep you sending your children over to foreign lands to kill other people's children. There's got to be some sort of time when you draw the line in the sand and say, no, government, you can't have my child. My child is not going over there to kill other people's children. It has to be done. If you don't draw the line...
Isn't that what Canada was for?
Well, not anymore.
Oh, well, they shut down that gateway, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. All right, everybody, stay tuned. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Peace and love.
Turn it up. Yeah.
table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. We got our Honorable Knight Thomas on here, Honorable Knight Steve on here, and crazy old Shaziz. And the simplest method to stop all the badness and all the lack of common sense out there is to push the big red button and blow the planet completely out of the galaxy into the next galaxy. But then, even in that little action right there, you create a ruckus for somebody else in another galaxy because somebody in some other planet out there decided to do the same thing because they got tired of all the deal. And then you had movies come out such as asteroids coming from space to blast somebody. So our explosive exit out of the galaxy would be somebody else's problem clear across the galaxy. So no matter what we do, we're stuck with trying to fix it. That's why we're here.
Shaziz, Ming the Merciless from Flash Gordon was evil, but he wasn't stupid. He didn't send meteorites to Earth, he sent hot rain. Yeah, let's kind of annoy him a bit, but let's not destroy the planet because we might want to do something with it ourselves.
Yeah, well, so I'm not into destroying a planet, I'm not into killing nobody, and the only reason why I'm even care, it's out of love. My own spiritual journey tells me to love my enemy, love my neighbor, love those people that hate me, you know? And so that's what I do, you know? And
just as long as he's not a man.
Well, we're not talking about that kind of love, Steve.
he ain't talking about knowing him.
Now, we're talking about a general love, like you love your neighbor, you love your friends, and so on and so forth. Now, the love between you and your wife, now that's a whole different concept. I don't even want to go in there because it's not an X-rated show. However,
do you mean the kind of love where everybody is unique, they have their own opinions, and should be respected with a universal love?
Yeah, the do no harm thing, you know? The universal love of peace and harmony.
I'm sorry, Shaziz, but universal love is very, very difficult to actually accomplish. And there are people in my not-so-recent past that have experienced when I have not universally loved people and I have not respected their opinions. But we're all fallible.
Yeah, we are. See, the thing is, none of us were meant to be perfect, and I don't expect anybody to be perfect. The world out there is all we got. This is it. This is all we got. Until we can get up off this rock and fly to another planet and repopulate on that planet and live there, then this is home for all of us. Every race, religion, color, background, sexual orientation, and so on and so forth. This is all we got. My God says I got to love everybody out there. Even the ones I don't agree with. Even the ones I don't like. You know, I have to love you, but I don't have to like you. You know,
That kind of leads us to the article that I just dropped in both the Super Chat for Awake Radio and Knights of the Round Table. And I wanted to bring this to people's attention because we're constantly told about the fear in the world and, you know, the hatred and all the rest of it. But this kind of piques my interest because it's a young boy in the Philippines. There were a family unit, but the boy lost his father, and his mother and brother are trying to do the best they can. But the young lad wants to learn. So what he does, he takes a table and a chair and goes out and sits outside a fast food restaurant because they've got a riot. Now, to be aware of the Philippines, it's kind of, it's not equatorial, but it's not too far from the equator. So they don't have the long evenings in the summer like we do. Like I used to have in the Northern Hemisphere. But he studies, he does his homework outside a fast food store and brings his own table and chairs and uses their light. And what it leads me to believe is at no age whatsoever can you keep a good man down.
Yeah, that's cool.
Now, what he studied, the material that he's being taught, that's a conversation for another day. But the fact that a young boy is prepared to go out and do whatever he needs to do in peace, we're bothering nobody whatsoever to try and get ahead, to me, gives me faith in the humanity.
I'll stand up for anybody's rights out there and anybody's cause, as long as it's not being shoved into other people's faces, as long as it's not being forced upon you. You know, free will, choice, whatever you want to call it. You know, you have a choice when you get up in the morning to be either a total jerk or try to be the most loving individual you can possibly be. We have to live together. We have to live on this planet. And so far, what we've seen throughout the history of mankind is man overriding man and killing man and stealing and robbing and raping and looting and pillaging and running amok.
Look, Shaziz, currently I've got a friend in the Philippines that's trying to track this boy down. And I'm going to send him a solar panel and a T5 fluorescent strip, so we can study at home with his family.
Well, see, now that's a solution I can get behind, man. You tell me when it's time to get ready to send that kid that deal, and I'll pull some money out of my pocket, and I'll put some money in that.
Shiziz, I already have all the equipment needed. I just need the address to send it to.
Well, if you find another cause relevant to that, like that right there, I will do that myself. I'll do it. You know, everybody should do it. That's a solution, and that's the kind of stuff that I've been wanting so bad to hear on these radio networks. That's a real solution. That is something that you see. The kid's out there studying underneath the sign. If you can find his address, you're going to send him a solar panel and some lights that he don't have to go anywhere. You have it. That's good. That's what I'm talking about.
Shaziz, I started with TNS Radio a few years ago now. And Vin, who I have a great deal of respect for, I don't always agree with, but I have a lot of respect for him, that he said that there's one thing that should be included in every radio show, no matter whether it's mainstream or independent, is a solution. Now, we can see an endemic need. We can provide them with a solution. How hard is it?
There you go, man. And that's the pebble in the pond I was waiting for. I wanted to hear that story. I'm glad you brought that article to the table, because that's what I wanted to hear. There are probably
millions of children in the same situation. We can't find every single one of them and find a solution for them, but it's, you know, ripples in the pond.
But we can,
you do what you can when you can.
We can do just like you said, the ripples in the pond, man. We can start sending this out and in your communities, and even if it ain't in your community, if you have the ability to reach out across international boundaries and find a story that touches your heart and help that person directly. I'm not talking about giving to some charitable organizations, because their track record stinks. All right? When I talk about how I've been seeing these commercials on TV all the time about the starving baby in the world, and I'm still seeing them 30, 40 years later, I'm getting ready to turn 50 years old here. I'm getting up there. I'm on my way out pretty soon. But whenever I get there, I'd like to at least know I left something decent behind. But I've been seeing this. Go.
Do you honestly think a belligerent old git like you is going to go soon?
Well,
you are going to drag it out as long as humanly possible and make everybody's life a misery that thinks that we are assets for them to manipulate. You are not going soon.
Well, I hope you're right, brother, because I love it here. I like to hang out a lot longer. All I'm saying is before I'm out of here, I want to try to stop some of the madness and put some common sense out there in this doggone world. You know, it don't take 30 or 40 years to feed the starving children of the world. It just doesn't take it. If we can amass thousands and thousands of machines and guns and ammunition to move over to a foreign nation and mop them into the Stone Age, we could do the same exact thing on the opposite side of the spectrum and amass thousands and thousands of bread trucks and food and water and clothing and shelter towards people that need it. Now, this whole UN thing out there, if they really gave a damn about these people of the world, do you think they would be talking about depopulation, vaccinating, whatever? Guys like Bill Gates, who's got millions of dollars, is sitting there talking about, well, if we do a good job of vaccinations.
Billions. Which is billions.
Billions, whatever. He's got all that money, and he's sitting here talking about depopulating the planet via vaccinations. I got to take him serious. If he's saying with vaccinations we can drop the population down, that is a red flag. But if he took that money instead of getting up there jaw-jacking, talking smack, and actually, I would bring myself into the poorhouse if I was a billionaire, spending all that money in every area that it needed to individual homes, individual families, wherever I could put all that money. Because I'm going to tell you something, folks out there, no matter how hard you aspire to be filthy, stinking rich, you will never take that gold off this planet into heaven or hell or wherever it is we go out of here. You're going to go out just as naked as the day you were born. And so whatever you left behind, all the scars that you put on humanity, all the blight and the disease and the trash and the warfare that you pushed upon your brothers and sisters of this world, that's what you're going to carry into the future of your existence. You're not going to carry that gold.
Shaziz, you mentioned a guy called George Soros earlier.
Yep.
Now, George Soros was born in Hungary.
Now he's in China.
Kind of a long time ago. Sorry?
Now he's in China.
Well, wherever he is, his first job was pointing out Jews to the Nazis. Same was the German Pope, the one that was the first person to resign in 600 years, was a member of the Nazi Youth. So why do all these Nazi collaborators keep ending up in positions of power and wealth? I thought we kind of got past that stuff.
Well, but, you know, I thought we got past racism. What's supposedly the first black man in president? I thought we got past racism. I thought our community had moved along. But according to the mainstream media, it doesn't matter whether there's a black man up there or not. We're still racist. I was never racist. You know? But I'm still racist because I'm white. I'm a white Christian conservative, I guess you'd call me. Because I don't believe we should be over there warring with other nations unless they come on our soil and try to attack us.
Well, I would kind of say that I've heard this phrase over and over again through the media, through the internet, through various different groups. White power, white power. Well, how many senators are black?
A lot of them. Judges, attorneys, doctors, lawyers, school bus drivers, police.
Are you going to punish me for the color of my skin? Is that not the equivalent of racism? How many senators are Mexican? How many senators are Chinese, Japanese, Native Americans? I mean, colour is one of these things that they use. They're like the levels of melanin in your skin. Means you're either black, white, red, yellow, pink, green, purple, I don't care. But it comes down to a genetic structure. And when people use the particular form of your own personal DNA to discriminate against you, it's not coming from each other. We don't lead these ideas.
No, there's a Jerry Springer behind the scenes, man. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Pay attention to that racist over there with the rebel flag. Never mind the history of the rebel flag. Never mind the fact that, you know, there were black folks fighting in the Civil War along with the white folks. Never mind that fact. Never mind the fact that there were folks that were hiding black individuals in their homes at their own peril, safety of their own family. Never mind that fact. Never mind that the good people of the world who stood up in times when they were able to, including in Nazi Germany when there were Germans hiding Jews because they loved them and they didn't want them hurt. It happened in every single culture. It happens in China to this very day. It happens in Japan. It happens in America. There are good people all over this planet. that will stand up in the face of adversity against pure evil at risk of their own safety in order to show their love and protect a human life. But the governments of this world, the medias of this world, who are in for the money, the ratings, or whatever their ultimate agenda is, one world government, depopulation, or whatever their ultimate idea behind the whole deal, keep pumping out propaganda, keep dividing and conquering, and we, the people of all nations, keep allowing these people to pit each other against each other. I'm a Christian and I can love a Muslim. I said it. I'm a Christian and I can love a homosexual. I'm a Christian and I can love a black man. I'm a Christian and I can love anybody on this planet. I'm a Christian. If you don't like it, then go on down the road. You don't have to hang out with me. I'm not trying to make you a Christian. I'm just trying to say to all the people of this world that there's somebody behind the scenes keeping you fighting with your neighbor. They don't want you talking to your neighbor. They don't want you talking to your communities. They don't want you doing things that's going to take any money out of their pocket or any power out of their ego.
Well, in fairness, you says, I've known you for quite a while now, and you've never tried to convert me to any sort of religion whatsoever. Not that it'd be particularly useful or a good use of your time, because I am the most belligerent, obnoxious, if you can excuse the phrase, gobshite, that, you know, has ever looked at a book and thought, well, some good ideas, but it's not really for me. You know, I'll take what's useful and, you know, discard the stuff about stoning women in the village.
Yep, and look, I tell you
it's
what...
It's like Monty Python's... Monty Python's Meaning of Life.
Let me tell you something. I read the Old Testament. I've read the Bible, alright? I read the Old Testament. And then some of the stories inside there, I was horrified by. Alright? As a Christian, I was appalled that anyone would stone anyone, that anyone would be crucified, that anyone would be harmed in any form or fashion.
Think about it.
Let me finish.
Did you just say stoning people?
Let me finish. Inside this book, there are some terrible stories. There are people being smited all the time. Smite them for this, smite them for that. And in the book, it depicts my God as hate. It depicts my God as vengeful. It depicts my God as violent, you know. And when I read this, you know, I'm going through there and I'm listening to the stories in there and I'm reading it. I'm thinking, I'm disgusted because... why would my God of love be running around smiting people all the time? And I'm trying to justify myself to be a Christian after reading this book. It's hard to do. But when you finally get to down to the moral of the story, the every parable in the deal, and you look at this overall as I see it, as a warning, as an educational tool, or whatever you want to call it. It says in there, thou shalt not kill. I agree with that. It says that thou shalt honor thy mother and father. I agree with that. I agree with the purpose. And I see that the story at the end, in Revelations, it talks about the way that the world is coming to be. All right, I see that that is the path that humanity's on. I don't want that for humanity. I would rather see a loving God look down upon his world and see his children doing what it is that they were meant to be, the caretakers with all the gifts that they were given. Our Creator gave us so much. He gave us a beautiful planet with all the resources that we could ever need. It's 3/4 covered in water. If you're standing next to the ocean and you die of thirst, it's because you're a fool. It's that simple. I believe in the words it says.
No, Shazid. It's not because you're a fool. It's because you're ignorant.
Okay.
And that is a derogatory term.
Ignorant.
It means lack of knowledge.
I don't have terminology, man. I'm a redneck
I'm sorry, Shazid,
from Missouri. I don't have the high tech terminology, and I would get myself in trouble in the court of law.
About lack of knowledge. It's actually a policy that's been instituted for a long period of time to restrict knowledge from people. So being ignorant is not an insult. It just means that you've more to learn. And it's not our journey through this life about learning.
Well,
and one of the strongest recommendations I can give to anybody is to throw out your TV and learn. Read books.
Yeah, pick up a book.
Look at articles on the internet. You don't have to believe them, but find constructive, useful principles, ideas, and solutions from wherever you can find them. I found a really interesting article in a 1965 book on fertilizer issued by the Club of Rome. And that launched me onto a whole series of experiments in horticulture. Now, the Club of Rome, from most people's perspective, are not a positive organization. But they let slip a few secrets, because I used my intellect and reason to fathom what they were. How bad? Do not discount something because it doesn't come from a favored source. Read everything and anything, but use your intellect and reason to find out what's useful for you.
That's the whole key, man. That's what should be done. In school, I believe that they should teach both sides of the story. I believe that they should teach evolution and creation. I believe they should teach every single possibility. I believe that they should teach people to think outside the box, to dare to dream against all odds or whatever. If you're going to allow somebody to gain knowledge or improve themselves, they need to know all sides of the story. Not just one direct driven, this is it and that's that.
The danger of teaching diametrically opposed opinions such as this is you end up with a nation of psychopaths, because they don't know what's real, and they're not taught the critical thinking skills to work out the difference between a good idea.
Well, truth be told, do any of us know what's real? Do any of us know the ultimate truth? Because as I listen to everybody talk, and we go back through history and all the changes and all the... There's like right now, there's a story over there in the Middle East where they're going around and they're just destroying old churches and they're destroying books and stuff like that. And it's been done before in history. There's been book burnings in history. There's been history rewritten and history hidden and so on and so forth.
Go Texas!
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know, because the folks that came before us, some of them being corrupt, decided to move us over in this direction. We're told now we have to have a birth certificate, we have to have a social security card, we have to have a driver's license, we have to have a wedding certificate in order to be over to be married. Truth be told, if we all brought it all the way back to the actual creator of the universe, no matter who that is to you, whether it be Mother Earth or the guy up in the sky or whatever, we should be free to live in peace and harmony. We can't, because we've allowed a little tiny minority to literally tear this world apart.
I applied for a broadband connection in the country I'm living in, and the girl at the desk said, "Do you have a birth certificate?" And I said, "No, I'm a figment of your imagination. You should be careful about what the government puts in the water supply." What do you mean, the birth certificate? I'm here.
I think I'm here.
Piece of paper doesn't make me any more real.
I think I'm here. I'm just, all I'm saying is that when it comes down to truth and reality, none of us have the answers. Okay, I call myself a Christian. I'm going to continue to do so because I choose it. I chose to. It's my free will. I want to call myself a Christian because of my beliefs. All right? But I don't need somebody else telling me that I'm wrong because of this or that or whatever. Present your facts on there. Let me make my own choice. Don't force this into my and force your beliefs on me. Don't chop my head off because you don't like because I'm a Christian and I don't agree with your view. The common sense of the whole thing, and somebody behind the scenes, the little Jerry Springer guy, is over there behind the scenes continuously pitting us all against each other, and you can't get over anything in society. Slavery will be forever. It's going to be forever, no matter how hard you try, no matter how much try to pay back that debt. You'll never be able to take away what that did. I'm almost 50 years old. I wasn't born during the time in slavery, but because I'm white, I'm still burdened with the sins of the father.
Your claim that you weren't born in the time of slavery is kind of a...
I'm talking about slavery in the one sense of the black to white version of it, all right? Because there's slavery still going on to this very day. There's slave trades out there. There's behind the scenes things where they're shipping ladies to prostitution and all that. All these things are stuff we have to be addressing, or somebody else thousands of years down the line are going to be paying for the sins of their fathers. Somebody has to break the chain.
A property tax is not in a form of indentured servitude.
A driver's license is slavery.
You don't have to drive, but you have to live somewhere.
But I want to drive. And in order for me to drive, I have to agree to the system. And in order for me to agree to the system...
It's kind of deeper and more insidious than that.
I have to follow their rules.
You can walk. You can walk if you want to, but you don't need a car. For millions of years, we've been able to walk here, there, and everywhere. Now, whether you come up to against somebody with a better spear than yours is a debatable point. But you have to live, and you have to exist somewhere. And when they start making rules and regulations on the basis of where you exist, that you have to pay somebody you've never met sums of money, purely for your existence, that is akin to indentured servitude, where people of power and authority that could use violence against you if you did not comply with their wishes.
Do I have any authority over you, Steve?
You don't like me using the F-bomb with the S-bomb.
That's only respect, Bill. I mean, do I have any authority over Thomas?
Well, even Bruce Lee said the epitome of martial arts is to express yourself openly.
Well, I wish we could just have a decent conversation and nobody would have to express themselves in such a manner that's going to offend somebody. I don't care who's out there. Everybody's offended by something.
You can't avoid offending somebody. Somebody somewhere will always be offended, my friend. But yes, profanity is not necessarily appropriate.
But
you need to let people teach children certain elements of society in their own time. So you are correct where profanity is not really necessary in a forum such as this.
Well, they had a feminist group that put a video out there that had little 5, 6, 7 year old girls dropping the F-bomb and cursing and talking about one out of all of us is going to be raped within such a period of time or whatever. And to exploit children in that fashion, to where you not only allow them to spew filth out of their mouth and propaganda to further your agenda, is what we've all been fighting against all this time. These governments out there, the people that are supposedly the representatives, are mad. They're insane. They're ludicrous. They're evil. The people out there are perpetuating it. Because it's like the simple homeowners association. If I move into an area that has a homeowners association, I have to sign this agreement so that I can live in this beautiful house and next to all these wonderful neighbors. But the first time I pop something up in there, yeah. First time I put something up in my yard because it's my yard that they don't like, then suddenly I can be fined or even booted out of there because of the homeowners association. Or if I'm living in a different area out there in the general public and my neighbor's grass is tall and I don't like it, so I call the law on him. I just gave the law authority not just over my neighbor, but I gave the law authority over me via whatever regulation comes around, because they say, oh, well, we got to stop this. We can't have everybody's grass being tall. So now you got this city guy running around there fining everybody who ain't got their grass mowed. We are creating the chains, every single link of the chain that is keeping us in bondage, we are creating by allowing these knuckleheads out there to continuously pile this on us.
Sure this.
Yeah.
Does it not say in the Bible that God gave us dominion over the earth?
Yeah.
But did it say that God gave us dominion over each other?
Nope.
Or is that a human creation?
That's a human creation. I have no right to tell you what you got to do or what you got to believe. I have no right to bring harm to you. It's the only duty I got in this world is to help take care of you when you need help and be there for you, that kind of stuff. Just like a brother would. You know?
Well, Shaziz, as with gay marriage, you don't have to like it, but you have to respect other people's difference of opinion. Is that not reasonable?
And that's it. That's the whole thing. I'm not trying to disrespect any of them. But the whole thing is what I'm trying to point out by this example of what's going on. It's the rebel flag. It's the gay pride flag. All that kind of stuff. There is a government entity out there and groups of individuals who are literally forcing it upon everyone. Everyone is getting vaccinated. Everyone is getting Obamacare or whatever. Everyone is getting, no matter what your religious beliefs are, now you're going to have a situation to where Christian pastors are going to be forced by the law to marry individuals, and it is against their belief. And the government, the whole separation of church and state is a lie. It's a farce. Because the 501c3 tax-exempt status has the government telling the church what they can and can't do. What you can and can't say. There are pastors out there who have gone to jail for going against it.
I think that there's a kind of a big separation between a religious institution and a charitable organization. And if your institution has signed up to the 501c3, they're not a church.
But the whole concept,
by definition, they are not a church.
The whole concept is they started off to be a church, and then the next thing you know, because of taxation and all that kind of stuff, they were forced into
that.
Yeah,
but Shaziz, at the end of the day, they have a choice. They can choose to be a church or a charity.
Well, I would choose to be a church.
Go to the Bible, think about the Christians that were fed to lions. They had a choice. They could denounce Christianity and they could have walked away.
Which would be against their faith.
What, to walk away?
Yeah, I wouldn't.
To live.
I wouldn't denounce.
To survive.
I wouldn't denounce my Christianity if they're telling me that I got to say that I'm no longer a Christian, that I'm going to have my head chopped off. If I don't, I would still say I'm a Christian all the way up to the entire chopping of the head. I would still be a Christian, and after I'm dead, I would still be a Christian. I'm not going to allow anybody.
As I said earlier, the guy that was belting me with a stream of profanity, and I said, I just insulted you, what are you going to do about it? And I said, well, the only cure for ignorance is knowledge, and you don't seem to want to learn. If somebody said you were a Christian, because if you are, I'm going to murder you, I'd say, no.
No, well,
because it doesn't matter.
It does to me.
If they do not, there is no point trying to fight with people that are endemically stupid.
I'm not going to fight with them, but I'm not going to allow some man to tell
me. You're going to fight with them to the point where they cut your head off.
That's right. But don't cut my head off, because I'm going to continue to say I'm a Christian, because it's my choice, my free will, my life, my being. I will say that I'm a Christian and get my head chopped off. I will not accept the mark of the beast. I won't do it, because my belief is that
you don't need to accept the mark of the beast to have your head chopped off.
It doesn't matter. I'm just saying. No matter what they say. See, here's the whole key of everything. What internationally, across all the international boundaries, what is in your heart is in your heart. The kind of person that you are inside your heart, that's you. All right. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. They can take your life. They can scramble your brain, but they can't change what's in your heart. The only thing they can do is pull your heart out and shred it up, and that's it. That's all they can do. But at the end of the day, you're still Steve. I'm still Shaziz. That's all there is to it. And they're not going
to
change.
Given the choice between having my heart ripped out and living to fight another day, I'd say I'd like to live to fight another day.
Well, I would just say, do me in now, because what I got going on after this is a lot better than what I got going on now. Even if it's eternal rest, or I just turn into dust and I'm gone and that's it. At least I don't have to sit around and listen to this BS. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I would rather die.
I've listened to a lot of BS in my life, mate. I've had shotguns pointed in my face. I've had people try and beat me to a pulp.
Yeah, believe me, I've been
down
that
road. When it comes
down
to it, if you can walk away and fight another day, perhaps it's better.
Well, that is better. But as I'm walking away, they'd probably have to chop my head off from the back, because I'll try to make a break for it, but I'm still going to be shouting I'm a Christian on the way out.
No, you just walk away calmly. I've done it. I've had guns pointed in my face, and they said blah 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 blah, and I said, well, you know, you got to do what you got to do, but I'm no harm to you.
But if they're going to talk about tolerance,
and I'm still here,
they're going to talk about tolerance, they need to have tolerance across the board, period. Alright,
some people are not tolerant. This is the lesson that people have to learn.
Well,
fight the battles you win, and you cannot win a battle if you're dead. So that parable about Christians that were too stupid to say, "Hello, Akbar."
They didn't fight
any more battles. They just died.
Yeah, but according to their spiritual beliefs, they went to a better place. And so, if that's what it takes, then so be it. Because why should I lower myself down to the standard of chopping their head off? Because they're going to chop my head off. You know, I'd be terrible.
Symbol on his staff. I think I'll err on the side of judgment, and judgment means that if a guy is carrying a satanic symbol on his staff, then there's no winning with these people. They will just kill you.
It's the deception that represents. It's the deception that everybody basically says whenever you talk about being a Christian, they automatically pop up about the Crusades, how the Christians went around and did this and did that. Go back and look at the history. It was the Roman Catholic Church that did that. It wasn't my version of Christianity.
No, it sure is. The Roman Catholic Church had absolutely no involvement in the Crusades whatsoever.
Then who did
it? The power and influence that they held over other people was what made it possible. The Catholic Church never went anywhere in the Crusades. They just basically said to people, you've got to send your young men abroad so they can be slaughtered by Muslims, because we don't agree with them.
I don't believe in the whole witch burning things. I don't believe in harming anybody for any reason under the sun.
Apart from pedophiles and baby killers and people that stand on white babies' hands.
Well, those to me aren't humans. Anybody that could do that aren't human. What kind of human could literally do that to a child?
I saw a YouTube video of a 3-year-old child that was repeatedly run over by cars.
What kind of person could do that?
That is not a nation I want to be in charge of the world, because they have no respect for each other.
And that's the whole thing, man.
Two days ago, I see a guy. He's got his iPhone. I mean, where I live, Everybody has a phone. I sit on the tube, like the underground system here, and I'm the only person in the carriage with a book. Everybody else has got a mobile phone, and they kind of glance up from their phones and look at me as though I'm weird. Yeah, maybe I'm a tree killer, I don't care. I like books. You can't edit a book, but you can edit a PDF, and you can remove it from circulation if the current administration doesn't like what it's representing. But, you know, guys walking out in the middle of the street with his iPhone banging away, sending text messages or doing whatever he's doing, and I grab him by the scruff of the neck and I pull him out of the way of a bus, and he turned around and he took a swing at me, and I ducked, and then I pointed to the bus, and he realised I just saved his life.
Well,
I'm not wrapped up in an electronic device, and I'm aware of my surroundings. I'm also aware of what other people are doing. And he kind of, when he realised what had happened, he thanked me for it.
That's the kind of awareness that everyone else needs to be accustomed to. They need to start being aware of their surroundings. Before you put on the blue shirt or the red shirt or the Chiefs versus the Rams versus whatever doggone team out there, before you put on that deal and start rooting for the team, at least know what the team really seriously represents. Know whether or not they're reading the bill before they sign the bill. These folks out there, they're falling. They're being played like a banjo. They're being told that everyone's a terrorist. Everyone's in danger. Your kids have to be metal detected. Your kids have to be surveilled by cameras. Your kids have to be forcefully vaccinated. You have to do all this stuff. You have to do it. You have no choice in the matter. You have to do it. That's what they're being told.
And it comes back to my comment about indentured servitude. When somebody else is responsible for you more than you are responsible for yourself, you are not free. When you have to take vaccinations, when you have to walk through a metal detector, it's the assumption that everybody is dangerous, medically, sociologically. I mean, what is going on where the average 10 to 18 year old has to walk through a metal detector to learn?
Whatever you think about Alex Jones, he coined the phrase prison planet. That's exactly what this feels like, a prison planet. And the bad part about being in the prison planet is everyone at the bottom of the prison is trying to struggle to get to some sort of comfort zone in the prison. I'm going to keep some power over you so that I can at least have an extra piece of cake on my plate or whatever. And it's like a greed. It's crazy. It's a dog-eat-dog. I think about the little bitty dog in there in the pack, all right? The little runt of the whole bunch. And I think about that little dog, all he wants is just a little bite. He don't want more than what he needs. He just wants a little bite. But the other dogs out there will shred him up if he even gets anywhere near it, because they want it all for themselves. The pack mentality of the world these days is disturbing it at the very least. Until the people out there can come to an understanding that unless you take care of your neighbor, it's all going to come back on you. One day you're going to need that neighbor. One day you're going to need that other nation. People just, they can't grasp that.
A guilty secret, she says. I rang into Alex Jones a couple of times before I joined TNS, and it was kind of, I wasn't impressed. Good stories, you know, good information, it's got a certain bias on it, but I wasn't impressed with what he was doing, because there was no solution.
Well,
I mean, the solutions were always what somebody else should do.
I'm not
with TNS, a lot of the people on TNS, and I think people should be aware of this, they actually went out into the community and provided direct solutions for people.
Yep. And that's the way it's got to be.
Walking up to a bunch of people and starting shouting your mouth off outside various parts of Texas is not a solution. Feeding people that need it, giving people legal advice when they're having their home taken away from them is relevant.
And being willing to feed people, even if it means that you personally will go to jail, it means you need to just go to jail. I'm going to feed the homeless no matter what.
Even Awake Radio,
yep,
provide solutions where they can. And I've kind of been looking at the site recently, and some of the stuff they're doing is kind of impressive. It's not going to save the world, but it's certainly putting yourself out there and doing something constructive with your time, effort and intellect. And that is a lesson that a lot of people might want to pick up on, is that you can if you want to. And as Tom said earlier, you know, sitting there whinging and screaming about it is no use whatsoever. If you do not incorporate solutions into your daily life, it's not going out and telling people what to do. It's if people have got problems, find solutions for it.
Yeah,
even down to the point.
I'm trying
if
to
you've
do
got
my
an elderly
part.
Relative with lumbago, sciatica, arthritis, change your light bulb for them.
I'm trying to do
it's
my part.
It's a solution. We will do.
I'm trying to do my part by showing people how to do things. I'm trying to do my part by sharing this information, by putting this platform together for people to come together to put them solutions out there. You know, is it the best that I can do at the moment? I feel so, because I don't have the funds to travel to and fro. But if there's something out there that I can do, that I can send some money to that I know is going to get done, then I'm in for that too. In my community, I want to go around, I want to help out people that need help. If I see a man with a sign that says he needs food, I want to help him get the food. And maybe he's going to go buy a liquor with the money. Maybe I'll just go to the store, buy the food, and hand him food. That's where the common sense thing comes into play.
Arresting somebody for feeding the homeless is a solution to what?
Nothing.
Well, no, it is a solution. But it's not a solution that's going to lead to a positive environment for us all to live in. Because when you feed homeless people, and I've done it myself frequently in my life, what you do is you show them that the world respects them at least on some rudimentary level, and they are not invisible, that they are not scum. When you take a homeless person out off the streets of Dublin, and you walk them into Bewley's Hotel, and you give them a good fry up, maybe it's not the healthiest meal, but it's what they want to eat. They walk away, and they say, some idiot bought me breakfast. Maybe that's their opinion. I don't know. But they've been fed, which means they're going to live another day. And maybe they'll sort themselves out.
I think that anytime that you can uplift somebody's spirit, anytime that you can do anything to benefit one of your brothers and sisters out there, I think that that makes the world a better place. Even if it only seems like one little tiny step forward, anything you do that is going to help another person, to give them the dignity to be able to live, and that's all any of us want. We want to live free. We want to have our families. We just want to live in peace.
Amen.
The world out there is a mess, and it's up to us to clean it up. Nobody else is going to do it. The government ain't going to do it. You know, and as long as we keep supplying everything that they need to oppress us, they're going to continue to do so. The bankers, the rich folks, the secret societies of the world, they get their power because we allow them to have the power. The base of the pyramid the capstone of the pyramid can only stand if the base of the pyramid is strong. And if we, as the base of the pyramid, which are the majority of all the people of this world, walk out from underneath that capstone, it will fall. And
well, I'll tell you what, Shaziz, there's an even simpler analogy. You've got a guy standing on a plank over a pit with 50 people standing on the other end of it.
Everybody step off.
What if those 50, yeah, what if those 50 people take a step backwards? But I have a solution for the people on the weight radio at Mad Science. If people are not aware already, wheat has been labelled as a chronic poison. Now, when we think of fields of wheat, it's kind of maybe three and a half feet high, and it's this golden sheaves, you know, going off to the distance. That's not what people make bread out of nowadays. It's a genetically modified hybrid that's about 18 inches high, that's grown specifically to have a large head and a small stem, because it takes up less nutrients, less fertilizers, and it's still good and well. But there's so many people that are suffering from celiac and gluten intolerance that I've been experimenting with spelt flour. I've done kind of a year's worth of experimentation on it at the minute. If you want to cook with spelt, scones, that sort of thing, are not going to work because spelt's too heavy. It's a lot more water soluble than wheat flour. So if you're going to make anything with spelt, I would recommend pastry or bread, particularly if you like the heavy soda breads that they make specifically in Ireland. But use half the amount of water when you're making these recipes. As I said, spelt is a lot more water soluble than wheat flour. So if you use half the amount of water, knead it for at least 10 minutes. If you make flour and you haven't got an electric mixer, get a nice flat surface and sit there and knead it and knead it and knead it until it becomes an elastane quality, and you will get a nice bread.
Sounds good. My solution to the world is stop allowing people to manipulate you into hating your brothers and sisters. Stop allowing these governments to do what it is that they're doing to you and your families. I don't consent. We're down to the wire, guys. Anybody got some words of wisdom to put out there, Muddy?
Yeah, if your wife tells you to shut up, don't think that she said stand up. A little hard to chew food. No, actually, I want to, reason why I ain't said much or come in much, sleeping yesterday, and wife rolled over, had her arm on my head, so I pushed it off. She rolled over, and then she rolled back and elbowed me and just about knocked out a tooth.
Sounds like you got a loving relationship going on there, brother.
Oh yeah, my sweet honey bunny kissy lips, I would not trade her for anything in the world.
Oh man,
this causes domestic abuse.
I love you guys. What about you, Thomas? I think you went to sleep on us. Steve?
Au revoir.
All right, everybody. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table once again. Another passionate show. I'm just trying to tell you out there, don't allow these folks to do to you what they've been doing to you for generations and manipulating you into hating your brothers and sisters out there. You know, I don't know the ultimate truth, just like you don't know the ultimate truth. All I can do is lead my life by my own personal spiritual journey and try to be the best person I can and try to be a helper to society as opposed to a hindrance to society. I want to see a better world for all of mankind. I don't want to see anyone starve or anyone suffer, no matter their race, religion, or color, or whatever. We all have to live here on this beautiful planet together. We all should be taking care of it. We should be the caretakers, the gardeners, and doing what it is that needs to be done in order to make a better world for all the future generations to come. That's what the Knights of the Round Table is all about. And so, with that said, I apologize for any offensive thing you might have heard. And it's not our intentions to offend. It's an intention to get you to step outside of the mess going on and look and see. There is a Jerry Springer behind the scenes pushing buttons, keeping everybody fighting amongst each other. Meanwhile, the house is falling down. Pick up a hammer and a nail and a broom and a dustpan and clean your house, and then we'll all work this out. We'll get down the end of the road. We'll find out who is right, who is wrong. We'll sort it out down there. But in the meantime, our world is falling apart. And the folks up at the top, they're getting wealthy off of it. The military-industrial complex, millions of dollars, man, if not trillions. Who knows how much money they got going on. We do know this, that the oppression continues on. And as long as there's oppression out there and the scales of justice are tipped in the wrong direction and not equally balanced across the board, then the Knights of the Round Table will gather here at the table and try to seek solutions and pass them on to the individuals out there that we believe are our brothers and sisters around the world. So with that said, peace and love to everybody. Take care.
Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot! Camelot! Camelot!
It's only a model.
Shh! Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to... Camelot!
We're Knights of the Round Table, we dance where we're able. We do routine to call the scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're Knights of the Round Table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off so mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
Thank you.
have to push the Pramalot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Fulfills the turbo! Always looking, fulfills the turbo, and the Knights of the Round Table!